This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacy Lynn. Explosions and gunfire early this morning in Gaza. Israeli troops have moved full speed ahead with significant strikes that they say have essentially cut the Gaza Strip in two. U.S. Secretary of State Blinken is on a whirlwind trip to the Middle East, where he's been meeting with leaders in several countries. He says getting the hostages out is a top priority.
We are intensely focused. The United States, Israel, every other country that has one of its citizens being held hostage by Hamas, to bring them home.
He's now en route to Turkey. Now, despite calls for a ceasefire, CBS's Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem tells us.
Speaking at an Air Force base, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel will not agree to a ceasefire unless all 240 hostages are released. He said that Israel intends to defeat Hamas. He spoke as the Palestinian Health Ministry said the number of Palestinians killed in Israeli airstrikes was approaching 10,000, including thousands of children.
Deputy National Security Advisor John Feiner told Face the Nation another big focus is getting Americans out of Gaza.
We have been able to get out more than 300 Americans, lawful permanent residents, and their family members. This is obviously a major priority and one that we are going to continue to work at until every American who wants to leave is able to do so.
Meanwhile, protests have been taking place all around the world. That's from Athens, Greece, where thousands rallied outside the Israeli embassy. Some local elections are happening on Tuesday, and abortion is a key issue. Virginia's the last state in the South without significant restrictions on abortion rights. So who wins holds a lot of power. They already have a popular GOP governor, and if Republicans are able to sweep the House and Senate, they plan to pass a ban on abortions after 15 weeks. Governor Glenn Youngkin told ABC.
I really feel that this is a moment for us to come together around reasonable limits where we can protect life at 15 weeks where a baby feels pain, with full exceptions in the case of rape and incest and when the mother's life is at risk.
We have some very fast winners in this year's New York City Marathon. On ABC, you hear the moment Helen Obiri of Kenya won the women's race.
From the bridge, through the burrows, to the breaking of the tape, Helen Obiri is the champion at the TCS New York City Marathon.
For the men, the winner this year was Ethiopia's Tamarit Tola. He set a record with his time, 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 58 seconds. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 48 tonight, under overcast skies, with a chance for scattered showers. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow, 64.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Hi, this is Lou Ann Bird, and you're listening to Bird on a Wire, where we are having conversations about hope, civility, and action. Thank you for listening on the Civic Media Network.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Bird on a Wire. My name is Lou Ann Bird, your co-host along with Civic Media. And tonight I have some very special guests that I'm going to introduce in a minute. And we're going to talk about disability, which is something you all know that I work on my entire life, on helping people with disabilities to be able to live a high quality of life and to be able to participate equally. So that's what this is all about. So let me start with introductions here. And my friend here, Liam, I met him at school where I drop off my grandsons, right, Liam?
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Liam Samzo. How old are you now?
10.
Liam is 10. And Liam, I'll let you tell him about you too. And we have Liam's dad here. We have Greg.
Greg Samzo.
Greg Samzo. He's going to talk a little bit about our other friend here, Jill. Now, did I say that right? Van Kelster. Van Kelster is here. And she's the CEO. And what else? There's two names.
President and CTO
of Here Wisconsin, which is a service I knew nothing about until I met these folks. So thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
We like to have conversations that give people hope and educate people, and then they can take some action. And I'm sure Here Wisconsin could use some support, and we'll talk about that later. So would you want to tell us about yourselves? Who wants to start here?
Sure. Yeah. Well, why we're here, I guess.
Yes,
so I'm here with Greg Samzo. I'm here with my son, Liam. And again, we really appreciate you joining us, letting us join you on the podcast, Luann. I have known Luann actually for many years. I knew her because of the fact that her and I reconnected at the school that our sons go to. But Luann actually... was very active in my hometown in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, as I was growing up as part of the school board. And I'm a recipient of the great education that Oshkosh schools had. And that's partly due to your leadership. But it's just funny that our paths crossed so much later in life, because I always knew of you and the work that you did in the community. And then as soon as our kids went to school together, it was fun to to cross paths. So, you know, we were here just because you and I have talked a lot about different issues, and disability rights always comes up as a topic that we discuss. And through one of those conversations, we talked about the work that, you know, I do because of the fact that Liam has a hearing loss. He's got a disability. He has hearing loss, a bilateral hearing loss in both of his ears. He was diagnosed when he was 6 months old. And so my wife and I have been very involved in an organization called Here Wisconsin. And so we talked to you about that, and you asked a lot of great questions around what Here Wisconsin does and what do they do. And so I introduced you to our CEO, Jill, who has been, with Here Wisconsin now for a number of years. And Jill, I don't know if you want to do a brief introduction of what you do and what Here Wisconsin does.
I would love to. Very quickly, I too want to thank Luann for inviting us here. We are a small nonprofit located in West Dallas, although we do serve the whole state. We're coming up on our 100th anniversary of serving the community. We serve little ones from 3 weeks old all the way to 100 and some year old people who are deaf or hard of hearing. So that's basically our mission. And we do that in many different ways that we can talk about later.
So Liam, tell us about, I met you at school, and I don't think I ever really knew that you had a hearing loss, because you seem to hear pretty good. Tell me, were you born with this hearing loss?
Yes.
Is that how? So you've grown up with it. Okay.
Yes.
So what's it like? What was it like growing up?
It's like you can hear perfectly normal in the day, but you can't hear during the night when you take them off.
Okay. And it's always been that way since you were born, right?
Mm-hmm. And I can't really know what it's like to not hear.
You can't really know.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like to hear normally.
Oh, there you go. And you may never know that, right? Mm-hmm. So normal is an interesting word, right? Mm-hmm. So all normal means is I don't need a device like you do. What is it that helps you to hear?
My hearing aid at Here Wisconsin gave me.
Oh, is that right? And is it did you have different ones over the years, or there's some that are better for when you're younger?
Yes, I used to have ones that needed batteries, but now I have ones that use charger.
Really? Oh, that's a nice thing. Because we have a friend who had a Vietnam vet friend, and he was in, and we were talking about that before, about Dan, friend of ours. and he had a lot of trouble hearing. And the hearing aids would go, the batteries would die. And then, you know, here we would be. We couldn't hear. He couldn't hear us. So it was always a challenge. But then he got these co-curricular and cochlear mm-hmm. implants, and that helped him to hear. So, yeah. Well, how old were you when you noticed there was something different about you compared to other kids? Do you remember that?
We had a newborn hearing screen at Children's Hospital, and he failed that. And so then we went and got some more testing and ultimately found out through genetic testing that he has a rare genetic condition called Connexin 26, which basically means his hair follicles don't grow at the rate or as long at length as somebody would have a normal hearing child would have. And so we found that out, and then we had to do further testing to figure out how severe his hearing loss was. And so he's got a moderate to severe hearing in his audiogram, which is basically like an audio chart with certain ranges and sounds. So Liam really struggles with high sounds, high frequency, low tones. So things like the difference between with and whiff or wish, those very airy sounds he struggles with. But one of the things that we got support with here, Wisconsin, not only to understand how to read his audio chart, but then they asked a lot of great qualifying questions around hearing aids versus a cochlear. And when do you start to get into these different devices? As you mentioned, there's certain kids who have cochlear implants, certain kids and adults who have hearing aids, right? And so it all is dependent on really how to read the charts and really understand where that hearing loss is at. So he got his first set of hearing aids when he was 6 months old.
Wow.
So you can imagine a little baby with little big hearing aids behind his ears, which he has definitely grown into. So
did you find other people are comfortable when they're talking to you, or do you have to sometimes help them understand?
I can hear kind of normally.
Well, that's great. What do you need at school to make it work?
Well, I don't really enjoy as much, but I need a cochlear. I need FM system.
Oh, you do in the school?
Yeah.
For that to work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me, what does that do then? Does that allow you to hear
it? It has like a microphone around the teacher's neck, and it like connects to my hearing aids, so like I can only hear the teacher.
Wow. So then how do you hear your classmates? How do you make that work?
Because at my school, my teacher normally forgets to turn it off. So when after she does, I always have to go turn it off so I can talk to my classmates.
Okay.
Have it been kind of a routine for me.
Okay. You're always going to have to remind people on that one, I bet.
Yeah.
In school, not always easy. Those of us that are able-bodied don't know what it's like. So when my husband was paralyzed, he fell on a construction site and broke his back. And so all of a sudden he went from being able to walk to not. And this was like 33 years ago. So now guess what I always do? I have to explain to other people what he needs, that, you know, he can still do a lot of things. A lot of people think he can't, but, you know.
So tell him what you did a couple weeks ago in your classroom.
I did it a couple weeks ago in my classroom, a presentation about my hearing.
What was the most important message in there?
That I can't, cause that I'm just like a normal fourth grader.
You are. Absolutely.
He spoke a lot, and this is something that Jill on the Hear Wisconsin team has been really instrumental in coaching us as parents, is to be having him be an advocate for himself. And so his presentation was to his fellow classmates, but then also his teacher around, this is where I thrive. This is what my hearing loss is. It is okay to approach me about it. This is why I have hearing aids. But then also, this is things I struggle with. So I struggle when I'm in a very loud, noisy environment like gym, and you're away. If my back is turned to you, I might struggle hearing that message. So you might have to tap me on the shoulder or turn me around. Or I struggle when I'm in the back of the class and you're a fan, or something to that, where, you know, Liam has been very great with making sure that he's presenting that to his teachers and his classmates, because the teachers and classmates sometimes don't know that either. And it, we wanted to teach him that, you know, he should, you know, own this hearing loss, right? There's nothing to be ashamed of. It is what he was born with. And the fact that he can communicate to other people around, this is why I have hearing aids. This is how sometimes I might not be, this maybe is why I'm not reacting to you. So here's a better way of approaching me, because I'm not paying attention to you. I just might not be able to hear you or understand what you're saying. So
yeah,
it's been a very good life lesson for us around just self-advocacy as well.
Right, that's right.
Teaching that young. And, you know, when we found out that Liam had a hearing loss, as two hearing parents, myself and my wife, we were lost, like a lot of other parents are when they find out that information, and just had really nowhere to turn to. And so we really leveraged here Wisconsin's, not only their services that they provide that we can talk to in a little bit for, you know, these young toddlers and babies like Liam, but then also the coaching for the parents around, this is how you have to approach the schools. This is how you have to approach people in an environment like a, you know, like a loud environment, a pool setting, right? You need to be able to make sure that you're advocating for your child as well, because if you're not going to do it, sometimes, unfortunately, other people aren't going to do it, right? And so we've also instilled that in Liam as well.
So what would you like to tell, what's the biggest challenge you have? I mean, you said normal, so you're a normal fourth grade kid.
Biggest challenge I have is understanding what the teacher says.
Okay. So
in certain environments, or just
sometimes the equipment? So it was like what environment?
Like gym or recess.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Do you use sign language ever or not?
I don't
know. You never. That's cool. So glad you don't have to, because that would be hard for people like me that don't know it either.
Yep. Right. But we were given the option when we went and went to Hear Wisconsin and started doing some of their birth to three services, is they coached us and they gave us the option. And so we had the option early on if we wanted him to learn spoken language or sign language or both. And so it was great that they gave us those options and we had the choice to make that decision,
yeah,
which we felt was best for our family.
Exactly. Did you get to go to some programs there at Hear Wisconsin?
Yes.
Tell me which ones. What did you do there?
Birth to three.
You had birth to three? Oh, boy. Do you remember some of that?
Yeah.
Were you with other kids that had some hearing loss? Mm-hmm. What did that feel like?
Good.
Yeah. Why?
Because there's other kids who understand it.
There's something about that, isn't there? Just being in a room with other people. We found that with our disabled community. We have some friends in wheelchairs, you know, and we went to a support group for a lot of years ourselves. And it was just, we didn't have to talk about it. It wasn't that. It was just people understood us. And so I thought that would have been beneficial for you. So that's what you did there, birth to three. And in going to that, what did you learn when you were there?
Well, we usually played.
You got to play?
Yeah.
Normal?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And then you started school at Montessori, right? Where our kids go?
Well, at first, I started school at Milwaukee Montessori, and then I moved to Wauwatosa Montessori.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, okay. That's where we met you.
Yeah, that's where our kids would.
Yep.
I would see you every day because I would bring the kids every day. And we're doing just fine there. But what people don't know is what it took to get you there, do they? They don't know that. They don't know the challenges of growing up with a hearing loss. And they also don't know, maybe you don't hear everything once in a while. That's true of all of us, by the way. I mean, let's talk about normal and what happens to us when we get older. Ask my husband and I, we're like, can't even have a good fight anymore because we're not sure who said it.
Yep.
But, you know, that's the thing with growing up for anyone. Mm-hmm. So you're really not different. But what would you like the listeners to know about children that have a hearing loss?
Mm-hmm. maybe that it's very hard to watch other people listen normally.
Yep.
That's challenging for you. How so?
Because like I feel like because sometimes I might worry that like I miss something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your close friends, you gotta come up with ways to communicate with your close friends, right? Mm-hmm. And do they learn to adapt to that? And they learn to ask you, make sure, check in. Did you get that, Lee? I would think that would be a good thing the public should do when they're not aware. It's kind of like if you see someone who has vision loss, you know, how do you talk to them? What do you say? Or someone in a wheelchair, how do you, the thing is, you just got to go up and ask.
Yeah.
What is it that you need? Yeah. And how can we communicate better? You know what I thought was cool? I met someone who took care of you who also was deaf. Is that right? Your hearing loss.
Yes. Yeah. We had for a couple of years, we had a nanny who would come and help, you know, while my wife and I were both working, and she would sometimes come and pick up the kid, and she had a cochlear implant.
That's so, what it was.
Yep.
It was
she so had a,
cool.
Yep. She had a cochlear implant and she knows sign language. So she would teach the kid sign language, and she was a great mentor for not only Liam, but then for us as parents to really understand for somebody who has a hearing loss, what some of her day-to-day challenges were, right? And it was really impactful.
Do you play soccer? Do you do sports? What do you do? Yeah,
I do.
What do you do?
Soccer, basketball, and I think that's it.
Just those two? So how does it work when you're playing soccer or basketball?
The coach, like, they use, like, they kind of like symbols to me.
Oh, they do. That's great. But you can hear, right?
Yeah, I know, but not on like the loud field and stuff.
Right.
They're like behind or in like sub. So they're like go like.
Okay, so that's what the public should know.
Yeah.
That it's not about what you can't do when you have any kind of a disability. It's a matter of how can we accommodate that so that you can live a normal life, because you are a normal kid. You just have a thing, you know, just no big deal. No big deal if we don't make it a big deal. But you also are going to have to learn what they're teaching you, and what you did in school is to teach other people and then make them feel comfortable with you, because it's just a part of you and it's normal. So that's great.
Yep.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. And I'm glad you also like to read. He's got a book in his hands here, folks. Looks like he's a like academic kind of kid too, huh? Sports, academics, yeah. That's great.
Loves to read. Yep.
That's great. You got to say hi to your little brother Max for me too, would you? Because he's a little cutie. Okay. Well, thank you. Do you want to play or you want to stick around? Because now
you go
explore and go play.
Which way?
And we'll just take a break here for a minute, and then we'll be right back to talk more about your Wisconsin. How does that sound?
You did awesome.
You did.
It was so good.
Yeah. I think I can. That's on. We can just stop and then start it. Okay. We're back. And Liam has run off to play. So now we're going to talk a little bit more about here, Wisconsin, and about the challenges that we are still having to work on for kids and grownups. So I'm going to. We were just talking about Liam and how it's not a stigma thing for him. He's grown up with this. He's because he's got great support through here, Wisconsin, and his family. You know, they've just and encouraged him to be who he is, and that's really great. We also know that a lot of people with hearing loss struggle to get help, and I will admit that my own father-in-law hated. He could hear, but whatever hearing aid he had was too loud, and he just couldn't stand him. So we would all be at the table, and he could not hear a thing toward the end of his life. And it was really kind of sad. He tried. I mean, I took him in, and we had gotten some hearing aids, but it was just too hard for him to adjust to. So I'm hoping I am sensitive as I get older. So tell us about that. Like you were saying, it's frustrating sometimes because people resist.
Yeah, there's still, you know, nobody seems to have any issues wearing glasses, right? We all know that as children or as we age, we get the readers and then we get glasses. And yet there's still some perceived stigma with hearing aids. And and people just don't want to. They feel like it makes them feel old. And then you look at someone like Liam, who is so empowered and wears his hearing aids proudly. You know, what that says to me is that we need to change that perception, and we are with every child who comes to hear Wisconsin.
Oh, absolutely.
On average, I think they say people with a hearing loss will wait 7 years before they go get help.
Wow.
Because the vast majority of people just don't want to wear a hearing aid.
Hmm. So how many people do you serve there? Tell us about Hear Wisconsin. How long have they been around?
So we, in 2028, will be celebrating 100 years of serving the community, which is just amazing. So we're kind of gearing up for that. Changed, you know, significantly through the years, but, you know, our mission has stayed the same, that really our ultimate goal is just to make sure that everybody from birth, you know, through the span of their life gets the services that they need. So we have programs for the little ones, like Liam, our birth to 3 year early intervention program, where we see babies all the way up to age 3. And really, like Greg said, we coach the parents. I think there's another statistic that 90% of babies who are born deaf are born to hearing parents. So what you can imagine is that's a tough thing to face. And, you know, we hear it all the time that families don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They need support. So our staff works a lot with parents, and it is a coaching model. So we teach parents how to help their babies learn listening, spoken language, or sign language, or both, when our therapists aren't with them.
So when babies are born with a hearing loss, how much do they, let's just say when a baby's born, how much do they actually take in through hearing? And how does it impede or hurt their development if they can't hear? And then what do you do to overcome that? Because I understand they lose a lot when they can't pick up.
It is absolutely critical to get to those infants as soon as possible. The longer that a child isn't exposed to the services of a speech language pathologist or an auditory verbal therapist, the harder it is to get them to enter kindergarten on par with their hearing peers. And that is our goal. On average, I think our team just recently said that most kids that we see are 10 months old. That's too late. That's really too late. We want to get to them at the 3 week period. And if you think about that, that's kind of crazy, right? That we can do therapy with infants. But it absolutely changes the trajectory of their life and I think their future success the sooner we get to them.
I listened to a mom talk and they had a baby and they learn so much around them.
Oh, they just have that toward, you know, their neurons are just going.
Yeah, sometimes by a year they can start to, some kids.
To listen to this and more uninterrupted, listen on the Civic Media app, available on Apple and Android.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Blinken is in the Middle East. He's made several stops to meet with leaders of several countries, discussing the potential for a ceasefire, and says it must advance a number of things, including the release of hostages.
Everyone would welcome humanitarian pauses. There's no doubt about that. They're obviously different views, including on the question of the ceasefire.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders on CNN's State of the Union.
We have got to stop the bombing now. You have over 600,000 people pushed out of their homes. Where are they going?
A possible Biden-Trump rematch in 2024 has Americans reacting. Director of Elections and Surveys Anthony Salvanto told Face the Nation.
Donald Trump's voters are more apt to say they're hopeful and motivated about this idea of a possible rematch. Biden's voters, and a lot of voters, more apt to say that they're nervous, even frustrated about it.
According to the new poll, Biden trails Trump by 3 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks win a tournament game
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are headed to Brooklyn to play the Nets tomorrow night, the tip-off time at 6:30. Friday night, the Bucks beat the Knicks 110-105 thanks to a key three-point shot in the fourth quarter by Milwaukee's Damian Lillard.
It just basically gave me an opportunity to come from behind Giannis's defender because he had the ball. So his man, instead of me going uphill where he can see the action coming, I went back door, and then I came back uphill from behind the defender. So once I kind of turned the corner with the handoff, I knew he wouldn't be able to just jump it because I was coming from behind him.
That was the Bucks' first in-season tournament game, which basically means the games are played on a different flooring surface. There are trophies awarded. And most importantly, if your team wins a tournament, each player receives a $500,000 cash bonus. College football. Wisconsin Badgers now fall to 5-4 after losing in Indiana 20-14. Head coach Luke Fickell.
We've got to find a way to do what we said we were going to do at the start of the year. Is finish.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Low is around 48 tonight under overcast skies with a chance for scattered showers. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow, 64.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
Discover the secret to a healthier you at Lake County Botanics. Vape Walkie specializes in top quality hemp products from CBD to Delta 8, all curated just for you. You'll find Delta 8, Delta 10, THCA, and more legal hemp compounds in disposable vapes, cartridges, edibles, and more. Isolates, broad spectrum, or full spectrum CBD, they've got it all. They even have products for your furry friend. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 to 7, and Sundays from 11 to 5. Mention this ad to get a free gummy at 215 Oakton Avenue, Suite C in Pewaukee. LakeCountyBotanics.com.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hi, this is Luann Bird, and you're listening to Bird on a Wire, where we are having conversations about hope, civility, and action. Thank you for listening on the Civic Media Network.
Right? You were aware of that, Les? I mean, it helps you?
They helped us. We were in a state of shock, I think, as Jill mentioned, and you know, first time parents, it's hard enough when you have a child.
Yeah.
And then they come back and tell you that he has a hearing loss. We were in a state of shock, and it was what schools do we access? What's his future going to look like? And really just we're overwhelmed with being first time parents and then having this thrown on top of it. And so with the Birth to Three program, it was really, again, having that support system, not only for Liam, right? And they not only have services that you actually go to your Wisconsin, but we also had therapists who would come into our house, our natural language surrounding, and start to articulate to us, A, it's going to be okay, which is the first thing that every new parent, you know, needs to hear, especially with one with a disability. We know what to do, and we know the structure, and we here are the things that are going to make him successful. And, you know, just guiding us through that process, again, with the selection of hearing aids, with understanding what his audiogram or audio chart looks like, with understanding verbal language versus American Sign Language and the differences between the two, and how do we want to set him up for success? Here's what his audio chart is saying, and what is first grade going to look like? Does he need to learn sign language? Is that, you know, going to be, you know, the best option for him? All of those things that you need to process that you just have never learned. And then for somebody to come in and actually work with him to articulate sounds and really focus on the sounds that he needs to hear so he was set up for success when going to school was just instrumental in us having a fourth grader who is excelling in class, and not only excelling in class, but as you just heard, was able to advocate for himself and his hearing loss.
I love how he looked at himself as, I'm just a normal kid.
That's
the goal right there. Yeah. So who pays for all those services? How do you manage that? How does a family manage that?
That's a great question, Jill.
So we bill insurance when folks have insurance. We obviously fundraise to support our programs. We, early on in my tenure there, had a contract with Milwaukee County to provide for these services for families. It was a longstanding contract that we had, and unfortunately, that contract was canceled. That was in 2019, and we had had it for approximately 30 some years.
Okay.
There was a new director of the department who thought it would be more efficient to have five providers in the community instead of seven. So as a low incidence provider, meaning that we didn't serve thousands of children a year, we only served 100, you know, perhaps our contract was less necessary. So, quite a hardship for our organization, as you can imagine, and for the families that we were serving. That was 2017. Was that right during when Liam was there?
Yeah, Liam would have been.
Yeah. So
he was in that program and it got cut.
Maxwell was actually, Maxwell would have been in that program in 2019.
As a hearing peer.
As a hearing peer. So Maxwell.
Yeah. So you don't even think about that.
No. So we are really proud of the fact that our toddler group, so we have a toddler group, like Greg said, we do a lot of the majority of our therapy in homes. But we also have a toddler group where we bring in toddlers, and that's where our therapists work with them and teach them American Sign Language and play the games that Lee was talking about. But I think it's really exceptional that we invite hearing peers. And that starts that inclusive environment, that kids getting to ask questions, kids seeing other kids with cochlears or with hearing aids. And our past board president, her three-year-old, is a hearing peer. And she said that her child has learned more in that two-day-a-week class than she has like in preschool or through family relationships because of the structure of it and what they're learning and just being that she's even learning how to articulate words that as a normal hearing child, she might struggle with pronunciation.
That's cool. That's why I wanted to ask Liam about that in groups.
Yeah,
the group being with really other peers that do go through what he has and how important that is.
And we do the FM system that he was referring to. We got funding specifically for that to just upgrade that recently. So, yeah, our therapists all wear headsets, and then the sound goes directly into the cochlear implant or into their hearing aids so they hear. And then moms and dads are in a separate room, can watch through a window and watch therapy being done.
It's a really beautiful setup. But I also, you talk about a group therapy for the kids, a group acceptance program. It's also for the parents because I've met a lot of parents, especially when we were going through our, with Liam, it was also a chance for us to meet other parents who were going through the same thing.
Sure.
And so we met a lot of other parents who we're also first-time parents and first-time parents with somebody with a hearing loss, and just to be able to share stories and recommendations and just a sense of community that we're not alone in this endeavor was a really powerful thing as well.
You know, I can remember that going to, they had the tests in Milwaukee. One time, well, they probably still do this, but we got to go to Italian Fest the day before because it was all for people with disabilities. And it's a feeling thing. It's not something you can really describe, but I'll just never forget looking down the, you know, and seeing all the wheelchairs and people that live like us and canes and walkers, and just there we were all together as
a community. Right. I mean, we like cool being thing. With people who yeah. are like us or have that shared experience.
Yep. Yeah.
We also have deaf mentors or adults. Some of our staff participate in the groups too, to, you know, I think for lack of a better word, kind of give parents the expectation that your child can achieve anything, right? They can go to school, get their master's degree. Here's people who are now working at Here Wisconsin who have done amazing
all of that.
Right. With or without hearing.
Right.
Loss. Yeah.
Right. We all need role models.
Absolutely.
So whether it's hearing impaired or vision impaired, I remember going to see a guy after Phil was paralyzed because he was a golfer. When we were in Florida vacationing, and we had heard of a golf pro that had had the same injury as Phil, and he was still out there golfing. So we went to see him to see what kind of adaptive things he did, you know, so we could golf again, and we never did get there, but it was cool. It's still cool to know, because like you said, really all of life, we should be looking at not what we can't do, but what we can do. And Liam is, and you're so wise to be training you on that. And as parents as well, to speak up and to advocate for and make sure his needs are going to get met. Does the ADA cover all of the hearing? How is that? What have you run into with that? The Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990. Prior to that, children, though, had rights in schools, so that's not a new thing for kids.
No, they have to make accommodations for them, right?
Schools have had to go. Now the businesses do, too?
We do have to get interpreters for people who use American Sign Language to communicate. Okay. So I believe the law in Wisconsin is that any business that it has 18 or more employees under the ADA has to get a sign language interpreter for that.
Okay.
So we obviously do it for everyone because it's the right thing to do, right?
Yes.
But we have a lot of folks who use American Sign Language come to our audiology clinic. So we have sign language interpreters for them.
Boy, that's cool. And Liam will have to learn that too when he grows.
Yes.
As he grows, when he gets into the work environment, you have to really make sure
he has. And we have several deaf employees on staff, several with cochlear implants because they have pretty severe hearing loss. So obviously we have captioned phones. We have all of those kinds of technology equipment.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that. But I would have thought, like, now you can hook up your hearing aid to your cell phone. So, you know, if my sister's got that.
Yes.
And it was pretty cool.
Bluetooth.
Changes with all of that. Yeah.
You know,
Leah mentioned his Bluetooth connectivity now. So it can be a challenge at times. We're asking him a question and it's tied to his iPad.
Oh.
And he's listening to his audio books. So
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's,
it is. Yeah. It is. It could drive a parent mad, though.
And yes.
Yep.
So speaking of iPads, that's always one thing in conversations like this that I really like to let listeners or people, you know, who don't know about this. Because I think one of the best kept secrets in the state of Wisconsin is a voucher program that we administer. So there is, in fact, your husband would qualify for this. There is a voucher program in the state of Wisconsin that provides technology, any phone-related technology, so a caption phone or a smartphone or an iPad that individuals who are deaf or hard of hearing, anyone who has a speech impairment, so children who maybe have autism, aren't vocalizing, aren't verbal, or anyone with mobility issues, so someone who uses a wheelchair. We all in the state of Wisconsin pay a very small tax on our phone bill through the Public Service Commission.
Wow.
that tax provides for these pieces of equipment to be made accessible to individuals in our state. Liam, I believe under the TEPP, it's called TEPP. It's the Telecommunications Purchase Program.
Yeah.
Can access iPads because you could text on it, right? So people who may be hard of hearing can still text and communicate with each other. You can get a smartphone. My father-in-law has hearing aids. He qualifies every 3 years for the rest of his life for a cell phone.
That's amazing.
It really is.
And it's about it. So you just apply or?
You apply. It's a very easy process. We would have to see a copy of an audiogram. Or if we've been doing a lot of work with the Autism Society and just recently had a mom send us a thank you. She has a daughter who is nonverbal and contacted our department, our ATC, it's the Assistive Technology Center. I was drawing a blank there. But the staff there helped her, helped the mom get a voucher. They got an iPad for her daughter. We put an app for them on the iPad. And her daughter went to breakfast with mom and dad. And for the first time, she's 11 years old, she typed in what she wanted for breakfast and it vocalized to the waitress.
Wow, isn't that great?
And she said, you have completely changed my daughter's life. I mean, she doesn't feel like she's not in control of what, you know, like trying to tell her mom what she wants. Mom has to tell the waitress. So it is income-based. If you can pay the $100, there's a $100 copay. If people don't have the capacity to do that, there's another program that will kick in. But people can get an $800 voucher for a cell phone or an iPad. They can get a $1,600 voucher if they have a speech impairment, or they can get a $2,600 voucher if they have a mobility issue.
And so that comes through the federal?
That's the state.
Oh, it's the state.
The state.
It's a Wisconsin thing.
It's a Wisconsin thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's always economic challenges in the state. They're always cutting budgets and Medicare is changing. How is that affecting services for people with hearing loss?
Well, one small situation, well, it's not even a small situation, it's a pretty large situation. So we see a very large population of Medicaid folks.
For our listeners.
Yes.
What's the difference between Medicaid and Medicare?
Medicaid is low income.
Okay.
So typically when I am talking about Medicaid individuals, it's low income folks.
And is it for any age? Or?
Yes.
So you can get on Medicaid if you have a disability, is it, or what? How do you get on Medicaid besides the income factor? I think there's disability factor too, isn't there?
Aren't there, and now this is where you're going to cut this up, because I don't know. But aren't there too, there's like SSA and SSDA,
right?
And
SSDA, right?
And SSDA is when you have a disability, and SSA is if you are born with a disability. It's
okay.
I always thought.
Okay. So through the federal, these insurance programs, there is money available. But what happens to the Medicaid then? So you can service Medicaids, because a lot of times
we service Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
So obviously we have for the aging population, folks, we all turn 65 and then we go on Medicare. Well, we through typically our audiology clinic. So we have a full service audiology clinic. We have four audiologists on staff. We are really the last community audiology clinic in southeastern Wisconsin.
Really?
Without having to go to a Frater or an Aurora or a big institution where, you know, accessibility can be a little more difficult. You pull up to our door and you come into our clinic. But
we right in West Dallas, by the way.
Right under
the lot.
National. Very close to you.
Yes. You go to Target.
We're right there.
West Dallas.
Yeah.
So you're right there.
So
this really cool symbol.
But what's really sad and what's been happening in the community lately is that more and more private audiologists are no longer accepting low-income patients. And they're saying it because we are having a larger and larger influx of Medicaid patients. And as an organization, we get reimbursed this much
and the cost of our services is this much.
And there's a big gap there.
There's a big gap there between what
it actually costs and what you get reimbursed.
Exactly. Okay. So
how do you make up that gap?
We fundraise and we talk to the community and write grants and look for pockets of business where there might be an opportunity for one of our five businesses to help subsidize the other programs that lose money. But the challenge with Hero Wisconsin is that we're specialized, right? I mean, the folks that are working with Greg's family and Liam are auditory verbal therapists and doctors of audiology and teachers of the deaf and hard of hearing and speech language pathologists. And, you know, those individuals, because they are so specialized and dealing with a very specialized group of individuals, cost money. And unfortunately, the reimbursements, whether it's a private health insurance or it's Medicare or it's Medicaid, it just doesn't cover our expenses.
And as a community-based organization, it's part of our mission statement that we don't turn
anyone away.
So that it's part of our core ethos, so to speak, that we serve the entire population, no matter you know, race, gender, income levels. But it still needs to be viewed as you need to be profitable in order to run, whether it's a business or a nonprofit organization. Right. So what are those revenue streams that we're bringing in? And that's what, you know, Jill is constantly working with the board to say, what's the revenue streams that we're bringing in? And how can we get additional revenue streams? If we're losing every time we see a Medicaid patient, we're actually losing money. How do we offset that? Is it through fundraising? Is it through sourcing other parts of the business? And so it is something that we're, you know, as a board member, we're constantly thinking about, constantly reaching out to the community and saying, this is a community-based organization. We do not turn anybody away. It impacts babies. It impacts seniors. It impacts the whole
spectrum. Everybody in between.
Start of life to the end of life. Hearing loss is a huge factor for the way that you communicate and interact with the community.
Quality
of life. And so you talk about the babies, and we can talk about seniors, but even, you know, seniors. We have what's called a mobile audiology clinic, which we can discuss goes out.
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago, we created Wisconsin's first mobile audiology clinic, recognizing post-COVID that there are people in the community that just can't get out to our West Dallas clinic. But even before that, I had a director of the Seton Schools. So Seton Schools, group of Catholic schools. I will never forget, this gentleman called me and he said, do you have any audiologist that can just come out to my school? Because I am absolutely certain that I have second and third graders who can't hear. And schools in Wisconsin are no longer mandated to test the hearing of our students. 38 states in our country mandate that kids are tested in schools, because we know that not every baby is diagnosed at birth, that children do throughout their younger
years. I was going to ask you that. Do they all get that thing? Is that routine, though? The birth one, but they
don't. Birth one is routine, but in the state of Wisconsin now, it is suggested that schools test the hearing of their kids.
Okay.
But so many schools can't afford to do it. They don't have the nurses. They don't have the speech language pathologists.
Never had enough of that.
No. So charter schools, private schools, kids aren't getting tested. So when we built the mobile clinic and we did a huge fundraising campaign for that, and the community really rallied around it and saw our dream and why this was important. So we created a 36-foot audiology clinic on wheels. And what we do is we take it to schools across the state of Wisconsin. We have taken it all the way up to Hayward, and we tested kids on the Ojibwe Indian tribe who had no access to hearing healthcare. We've taken it west. We've taken it, you know, into our lower income areas that don't have access to hearing. But we also go to assisted living facilities, because so many of those folks can't get get to our clinic in West Dallas. And what we did was we built this as a model where it would have that sustainability piece, right? We didn't want to be irresponsible and create something that was going to lose money for our organization. So what we did is put two audiometers on the vehicle, two of those testing devices, one that would test children and assisted living facilities, just like we do in our clinic. But then we go out to manufacturing companies, printing companies, companies across the state that are mandated by OSHA to annually test the hearing of their employees. And they pay us for that. That is a fee-for-service contract. We come out, we test their employees, they pay us, and earning that revenue keeps the mobile clinic on the road, serving our community.
We are almost out of time already. But this has been fascinating to hear from you both.
Well, thank you.
And it's something those of us that can hear just don't think about all that much and how important it is. And little things like, well, they stopped mandating it in schools, but now we got kids that can't hear. And there's plenty of other challenges to, you know, learning that's one that can be fixed. So, you know, people know more about that. You give them hope. You give them hope. And then when there's hope, that means there's things we can do. That was one thing I learned in one of my podcasts with the First Sisters over in Tulsa. They talked a lot about that. If you know, if you're hopeless, you don't do anything. But you give a lot of people hope that if they have any kind of a hearing challenge, there's someone out there for them, regardless of what you can or can't afford. So I'm hopeful. I'm glad that we can spread the word about that. But if they want to get a hold of you, how do they?
They can go to hearwi.org. That's our website. All of our programs and all of our services are there, out there. If they are interested in audiology, they can call 414-604-7219. That's our general number. We'd be happy to help and get them hooked up with the TEP voucher if they need that.
That sounds great. Okay. Well, you guys out there, we're always about hope and action. So if a bill ever comes up, I always like to point to the legislative process that would support those with hearing disabilities. You can always make a call to your legislator and let them know how you feel about this, because now you all know more, just like me. We know more now about how important it is to get the services to the families and the children and the elderly. I mean, I'm approaching that myself. So, you know, I want to be able to hear. I want to be able to participate and have a quality of life. And hearing is certainly very important.
Like, now I know where to go.
Yeah, well, I know where to go. That's just great. So I do have one more final question. Did you go to West or East? North or West?
I went to West, Oshkosh West.
Yeah, well, you're right. One of those. It's West on North. But they were my favorite geeks. We're the Northwest geeks. The whole community came together and we had such fun.
That's right. Really great times.
Yeah, really, really had some good times back then. So thank you both so much. This was awesome. Great.
This was. Thank you so much for having us on and helping us spread the word. That's right.
Yeah. And thank you to our listeners and to the producers and to Civic Media for all the truth-telling that you do on your broadcasts. We appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Bird on the Wire on Civic Media. For more episodes, visit us at civicmedia.us. I'm Lou Ann Bird. Thanks for listening.
To listen to this and more uninterrupted, listen on the Civic Media app, available on Apple and Android.
This is Civic Media. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.